What's up, Cubs? Welcome back to The Den. Before we get into our intro song and get kicked off with 104, we have a special delivery, okay? We got a package in the mail. Look who got a letter. We just got a letter. Look at all our letters. Wonder who it's from. VJ, this is an artist from Montana whose parents live on my route in Wilsall. Anyways, love the Cub vibe of these. Dress up The Den with some beautiful art. Love you. Am so proud of you. Mom. XOXOXOXOXOXO. So many kisses and hugs at the bottom. So my mom sent us some stuff to dress up The Den from a local Montana artist. Because my mom is local to Montana. I am not, as we all know, Idaho boy. But mom sent us some art from a girl. And I love it. And this is from Abby Pittman. So check out abbypittman.com. Her Instagram is Abby Pittman Artwork. And we got, dude, it's like, yeah, okay. I got basically the same bear hung up right now. That is from China. And this is from a local artist in Montana. So real quick, we're going to swap this bad boy out because obviously, hey man, appreciated you. You had a nice long run here. I think it was 3 episodes, but you were made in a factory by children. So we're going to swap this bad boy up. And while we do that, let's go ahead and get into it. Hi. What's up, Cubs? Just sloppy as all fucking get out. Trapzilla City. Babe, I'm going to keep dancing on that bridge till the stars come home.
And cheer up, babe.
Fucking knocked it out of the park, dude. What's up, Cubs? Welcome back to Cheer Up, Babe, the podcast. I'm your host, VJ Julio. This is episode 104, and we're back in action. We're back in the den, dude. How was your week? How was last week? Did you have a good week? I didn't. Okay, you're going to hear some crinkling because I'm opening a package right now. I'm opening the picture up. We're going to see if it fits. And if it doesn't fit, we'll cross that bridge later. But I love this. Abby, great work, dude. Super freaking cute. We do have to come up with a name for this guy, though. Ooh, maybe I should reach out to Abby and be like, Abby, listen, here's the deal. Your artwork is now on one of the world's most critically acclaimed podcasts of all time. So what is the name of your bear that you painted? And then maybe we'll let Abby do it. So I'll reach out to her. We're about to get a cub. We're about to scoop up another cub. Ah, shit, the frame is too wide. That's all right. We can make it work. Yeah, that's actually really cute like that. Okay, we're going to do it just like that. The frame on the pre-bought frame is like covers too much of the bear, but that actually looks pretty solid. So that's going to be just fine. But we got to reach out to Abby. Y'all, go show Abby Pittman artwork on Instagram some love, because now her art, thanks to my mother, is a staple of the den, and I personally think that is so fucking cool. And I fucked it up. Damn. I'm gonna cut to when I get this figured out. All right. Sick. Maybe I'll do some adjusting with that like border. So maybe it'll frame it better, but I think that's gonna work just fine. That's probably not square, but whatever. I did it from a seated position. Also, we got sent this one. I freaking dig it. I mean, it's a fucking country boy. Like me. I'm just kidding. But I dig it. I dig it. I mean, he's eating a rainbow trout, just absolutely housing a rainbow trout. I'm sure it tastes so good. That's not the point. But mom, thank you for the artwork. Abby, thank you for the art. Beautiful. Well done. Love it. Obsessed. We're just going to, I don't fucking know. I don't know for today. Support local artists. Also, dude, I'm so country. You have no idea. Now listen, Cubs, you know me, all right? You know once I'm in, I'm in. You know once I'm all in, I'm all fucking in. I moved back to Idaho, and I was like, okay. I was raised athletically, right? I was raised with a one-track mind, and that is athletic discipline. Everything else is outside of the circle, right? So when I got out of high school, and I was on my own, and I was learning how to do shit productively, like I wanted to learn how to make things and like utilize tools and work with wood and stuff like that. Just YouTubed it. And now, guess what? Pretty proficient at it. All right. I build things all the time now. It's just part of my repertoire because I'm 31 now, so old. And so that's just what I do. I just get into something and I learn about it. Now, I had a few cool experiences when I was a child. I was like 13, I think. And we'll actually get into that in a second. Let me preempt the story. My Christmas present to my wife. Do you guys remember what it was? Don't even know if I told you, but do you remember? You remember what it was? Christmas present to my wife was swing dancing classes every Tuesday in January. That's, I mean, Shia. Keeping myself at the top of that husband pyramid. Guys, step up, all right? It costs me like $200 buy dance classes for your girl, dude. Even if she doesn't want to, okay? Because I'm not going to lie. Class number one, this is mine and Jordan's whole dynamic. I have no, my whole brain is, nothing's going to go wrong here. But on initial inspection, Jordan is, anytime she's trying something for the first time, oh, the worst case scenario is the only possible outcome. So I have to literally take her by the hand and be like, come with me, you know? And we just have to get there. We just have to get there the first time, and then literally 10 minutes after we're there and she realizes, oh, no one in this class wants to murder and judge, then it's a grand old time. But that's her concern, right? So we've done two swing dancing classes at this point. And oh, we got moves, dude. And did I sign us up for the beginner one? No. Because I was like, we've danced before. I've danced at weddings and bars with my wife all the time. We're not going to take the beginner class. We're going to take step two. I am what I am. I'm a hooligan. And did that cause extra anxiety for my wife? Because she goes, why wouldn't you just start us out at the beginning stage and not the second stage? And I said, because I read in the description that if you've danced in a bar before, you don't need the first stage. And she said, well, we were just trying to swing dance. We were just going based off a feel. We know zero steps and we don't know anything about it. And I went, well, I am what I am. I'm a hooligan. What do you want me to do? We're in the class. So it's either time to put up or shut up. Because it's already paid for and we're going Tuesdays at 7 o'clock. We're going to drop the girls off at Pop-Pop and Gigi's house. They're going to bake cookies and shit like that. And they're going to hang out for a couple hours while you and I go on a dancing date night in a level 2 class. And we're going to step up because guess what? We can handle it and it's going to be a great time. And now we've done 2 of these classes and we've got every single step down. And we're learning all the fancy dance moves. And we're also learning not to squeeze the shit out of each other because dancing doesn't have to be aggressive. It can be smooth and fluid. We're learning that. And now my wife is just striding around swing dancing with me, just practicing in the middle of the fucking house like, bitch, I'm her. Just swing, just practicing moves. We just be dancing now, dude. We're just dancing. Now, here's the thing. It's swing dancing, right? Now, when I go into something, I go all the way in. Okay? So I got to show you something that I was pretty fucking excited about. I got cowboy boots. Oh, fuck, dude. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I have cowboy boots and they match my chair. And my wallet. Oh, fuck. I got cowboy boots that match my chair and my wallet and my overall aesthetic of my office. Ah, oh, God, except for the white walls, of course, but we're working on it. Ah, oh, dude. I meant den, not my office, but whatever, you know what I mean. Just brown leather boy. I'm just a brown leather boy, okay? VJ, what brand are those? Are they even good boots? They're Tony Lama. Ah! Gross, dude. What's happening? You got Tony Lama boots because he started swing dancing with his wife and he knows eventually they're going to own land and he's going to have a hobby farm. So he just wants to have cowboy boots. And he got Tony Lama, which is a great brand. The MSRP for $185 and he got them off eBay from some chick for $40, barely used. Looking for the next sorry fuck, cock and muscle. But yeah, on a real note, dude, guys, listen up. Guys who are listening, if you have, dude, it's okay. So you know how annoying we think flowers are, right? We're just like, I don't get it. It's kind of a waste of money. Like, I understand Like, if you think about it, it's like, okay, if I buy you flowers, it means that symbolically, while I was out and about living my life, I thought of you for a moment and I bought you some flowers because I know that you would enjoy that, right? So there's like, it's all symbolism behind it, right? Oh, guys, just do a Google search and find a dance class and then tell your girl you got dance classes on every Tuesday at 7, okay? Just do it. Just do that. And goes like, I don't fucking dance. Oh, dude, she's gonna leave you, okay? So go get some dancing classes and take your girl dancing, all right? Girls love that shit. You think they grew up watching rom-coms with Wish and Disney princess movies where there's a ball, and you think that they watched that and went, I hope my future man never takes me dancing. You think that went into their brain? Or do you think that you sneak up on them with a little, hey, I got us dance classes. I've already set up dropping the kids off so we don't have to worry about that. Everything's prepped and ready to go. Every Tuesday at 7, you and I are going to do dance classes for an hour. You don't think she's going to want to have another baby immediately, guys? Okay? And that's all we really want. We don't want to necessarily have another baby right away, but we want our girl to want to have another baby right now. We want our girl to be looking at us like, put a baby in me. We want that energy, okay? Buy dance classes. That's all I'm fucking saying, dude. And then also lean in because it's fun, you know? Be silly willy-nilly with it. Go on eBay, buy some fucking boots, okay? Unless you do, you know. Now, granted, did we go to the first class and we went to the wrong place? Yes, okay? Did we leave 30 minutes early because one of the things that Jordan hates most of all is being late for something, which I totally appreciate? Yeah, of course. So we went and we said, okay, we're going to show up 15 minutes early to the dance studio, which is called Follow My Lead. Oh, cute. You didn't expect that. So cute. The dance studio is called Follow My Lead. And we got there. And so we're sitting outside. This one guy, okay, that was absolutely dressed to the nines. Absolutely. He walked in about 3 minutes after us. And he was wearing a silk purple shirt and slacks and the shiniest black dress shoes of all time. And he walked in like he was going to take a class. He also had middle of his back length black hair and a receding hairline. But these are all just to paint a picture, okay? There's no judgment being cast. I just want you to picture this exact man, okay? And I know right now you're picturing a guy with a dad bod. Yeah, babe, you nailed it, okay? So a guy who's about 2 inches taller than me, purple silky shirt, black slacks, and the shiniest dress shoes with middle of the back black hair receding hairline. Now, was it just like slightly receding where you really had to pay attention to notice it? No, it was about halfway back his head, but that's fine, dude. I'm just painting pictures, all right? He walked in, and I wasn't looking at him like, this fucking guy. I looked at him, and I immediately went, uh-oh. That's not a swing dancing outfit. Where are your cowboy boots? You know? I looked at him, and I went, I would bet my right nut that he's not about to take level 2 country swing. I seriously doubt that. That's about to happen. This is our first time there. Jordan's already nervous. And obviously on the drive, she goes, you're sure this is the place? I'm like, yeah, there's one dance studio called this. Okay, there's one dance studio called Follow My Lead here. So it's like, yeah, this is the place. It literally can't be another place. So we sat there, and then now we're 10 minutes out from our class to start. Okay, so we've been sitting there for about 5 minutes. This silk shirt guy walks in, and then the class before us ends. And the cheesiest motherfucker of all time, with the greatest posture I've ever seen, steps out of the dance room and goes, tango? And I went, I did a double snap because I do shit like that with my mannerisms when I'm like, uh-oh. When I go, uh-oh, in my brain, when I'm in just a social setting and something and my brain goes, uh-oh, I have to do something with my hands. And usually what that is double snap finger guns, okay? Because I'm a dad, and that just is what it is, okay? Did I always do double snap finger guns? Absolutely not, all right? So he goes, rubbing his hands together, tango? And I go, swing? And he was like, no, tango. And I was like, is there a swing class today? And he goes, yes, at our new location. And I went, Okay. That's not on your website. And so he gives us the pamphlet, and the front of the pamphlet literally says, check out our new location on it. Okay. And I went, well, I'm pretty sure we're supposed to be at that location. And he goes, there's the address. You guys go have fun. Cheesiest motherfucker of all time. Cartoon in human form. Fell in love with him immediately. Talked to him for 37 seconds. Pictured our life together, dude. I was like, I need your energy in my life, dude. So you best believe after I absolutely perfect swing dancing and win some competitions with my wife, I'll take tango from you. But now it's crunch time. I put the address into the Google Maps and it says you will arrive in 11 minutes. Okay. The class starts in 10. So it's time to asshole and elbow. So now wife, who has already verbalized her anxiety around the situation, is now so fucking pissed. And I went, it's going to be fine. Right. So we got there, we sped. We did not get pulled over. We got there right on time, walked in, had a great fucking swing dance class. Teacher asked, is everyone here from step one? And I went, no. And she goes, why? And I said, in the paragraph, it said, if you've danced in bars before, you shouldn't do step two. And she goes, okay, well, I guess I'll assess you guys as I teach. And I went, okay. And then 8 minutes later, she went, you guys are doing fantastic. Great call not doing lesson one. Bitch, I'm her. I know the life I live. Okay, I know the girl I got, and I know the relationship I am in. I have our specifications dialed. I know what we're capable of, and what we're capable of is skipping intros. Okay, we skip the intros to things. We dive straight fucking in, and we buy some fucking cowboy boots and get to swing dancing, dude. Okay, but also now I have a new thing. If any advice question comes up about the dating sphere, if any guy writes in, or if we read any post that's like, I'm having trouble with this girl, or I'm really interested in this girl, or my wife of 17 years and I are having troubles, one piece of advice: buy dancing classes. End of advice. That's all you're going to do. That's all you're going to fucking do, dude. Now, circling into negativity from this week, because this is Cheer Up Baby the podcast, but we talk about all things, all right? I'm a fat piece of shit this week, okay? I didn't work out once. I slept late. I stayed up late. Slept in, didn't work out once. And gained probably 7 pounds. I feel puffy. I feel gross. I'm wearing the sample merch that I ordered to show you guys. And I, for some reason, I ordered it in a large when I ordered it. I only wear extra large. So I literally am squeezed into this merch shirt right now on a week where I feel disgusting. And it's fine. Okay. That's me looking in the mirror. All right. I'm not looking at you like every single one of my ex-girlfriends. Do I look fat in this? Only so I would tell them no. It's like, how could you look fat? You weigh 115 pounds. Anyways, we're getting off topic. I'm saying I feel like crap. And it didn't help that Costco is now selling 24 racks of the Guinness nitrogen capsule cans. Damn. So fuck it, dude. I wrote off this whole week. I wrote it off. I said, I have 24 cans of Guinness in my fridge, and I have only stayed up late and slept in and have done zero activity. My little Whoop strap that tracks my fitness, every single day at the end of the day, it sends me a little report across the entire span of the week. So when you work out, it says it clocks your stress level, and it says like you spent this much time in the high stress zone today, because based off of what your heart rate is and your blood pressure and that kind of shit. So this whole week, my watch said at the end of every day, you've spent 0 minutes in a high stress zone, which you might be like, that's great, VJ, your brain must be getting such a break. No, it's also copious amounts of Guinness into my fucking bloodstream all day, making me inflamed. And yeah, you are talking to the guy that did a fucking fast and hit the reset button and stopped eating sugar. But when I go off the rails, this is why I don't do heroin, dude. I can't handle it. I can't handle heroin. I don't do heroin because I don't want to try it. I do heroin because I know I can't try it. I don't do drugs because I know I can't try it, because I got too addictive of a personality. So now I'm just slugging like three freaking, I sound like an alcoholic, but it's like, have you had Guinness before? If you haven't had Guinness before, it's like a milkshake, All right. There's a little sweetness to it. All right. It literally feels like you're having a meal. All right. So when you're, even when you're hungry, your body goes, you can go make a sandwich or you crack open a Guinness. So basically what I'm saying is I'm biting at the bit for these Guinness to be out of my house because it's a problem, because I lack all self-control. And I feel fat as shit because I ordered the wrong size for the sample of the merch. By the way, go get your Cub campaign merch because 2024, we're going to be in a campaign year. This election, vote for me. This is my official announcement that I'm running for president of the United States 2024. This is my official announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my honor to announce that in 2024, Papa Cub, Papa of the Den, your guiding light, will be running for presidency in 2024. I don't have a campaign slogan yet. Pick a candidate you can trust. You listen to me for an hour a day or an hour a week. You listen to me for 1 hour out of the week. That's enough proof. That's all the proof I need. You've listened to me for over 100 hours at this point. Cheer up, babe, 2024. Oh, and then immediately goes into a song from Sing 2, because that's all that we listen to on YouTube now. Immediately goes into, cause you're a sky full of stars, because that's the only thing that we listen to in my house. And that's fine, dude. I'm not even like worried about it. I'm not even stressing about it. It is so annoying on how jacked up my algorithm is because of my kids, but we're not going to get too into it. But yeah, that's my campaign announcement. One take, by the way, believe it or not, that was one take. Nailed it, crushed it out of the park. It was huge. Oh, shit. What are we going to do, Cubs? What are we going to do? Now, I want to tell you something really interesting that happened last weekend, actually. It was Saturday night, Sunday night. And I'll tell you what. Sometimes you got to pay attention to what your brain's trying to tell you, because your dreams... Oh, immediately turning into a star child. Your dreams, I feel like, are sometimes they shine a light on something you're not paying attention to. And it happened for me and it freaked me out. So as I would say, my biggest fear is no longer sharks. It's leaving my family behind. Okay. And oh, so morbid, so sad, but so true. A reality of what comes along with being a guy is like, okay, my biggest fear is leaving my kids and my wife without me. And when you put that into words, it sounds self-indulgent. I'm just saying, I now know I was put on this earth for one reason, and that is to give my children the tools that they need in order to become their most true version of themselves. Say what you want about that take. That is what I am here for now. And considering it's my life, that's the decision that I made up. My life is now only centered around showing and working through the trials and tribulations that my kids will be presented with, and also how to handle every happening that happens in their life, giving them tools for that as they need them. So if that's my sole purpose now, my worst fear is leaving them. Okay, so I had a dream. This dream is brutal, honestly. The storyline of it is like it was a nightmare, but in the dream, I wasn't scared. I was just sad. Okay, preempt it with that. Told my wife about it. She got so mad that I told her about that. But I didn't feel fear from it because I don't think that it was like, hey, watch out for this. This is going to happen type of thing. I think it more shed a light on, if this is your biggest fear, here is how you can get that out of your brain so you don't focus on fear anymore. Okay. So in the dream, I died. Let's just start it off there. And that's how the dream started. I just died. Don't know how, but I was in the sky. okay? Because our brains are simple. And I was in the sky and I was looking down at my family and it was literally like a time warp. Picture Interstellar. It always comes back to Matthew. It always comes back to Matthew McConaughey. We haven't talked about him in a while, but hey, Matthew. It always comes back to you, my guy. You're in everything, but Matthew McConaughey in Interstellar, when he's traveling through space and then he enters the different dimension and he's stuck behind the bookcase looking at his daughter, crying and hitting the bookshelf, trying to communicate with his daughter, but he can't because he's in a different dimension. Same thing happened in my dream, okay? Except for I was looking down from the sky and my family was struggling with certain situations that were happening. And I was literally, there was like a pane of glass in front of me and I was trying to hit it and they couldn't hear me. Sad. Okay. So what that did when I woke up is made me think about it because I overanalyze everything. We know that. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, let's deconstruct this for yourself a little bit because I don't have a fear of death. I don't. Because I genuinely believe that I'm not going to die young. I don't feel like that was put on me, which is why I feel like I've never had a fear of death. I feel like people that focus on it too much are the ones that something ends up happening to them because it's like that's all they fixate. So you kind of manifest it, right? So I don't ever really think about that. But I was like, okay, let's deconstruct, all right? You know, your worst fear is sharks. Oh, pause. Maybe let's deconstruct that. Just kidding. That's not how the actual traction went in my brain. But I was like, okay, your worst fear is leaving your kids behind. Why is that your worst fear? Okay, that's your worst fear because you don't want them to be a typical didn't grow up with their dad child, right? Okay, why is that bad? Because a good dad will show you what emotional stability from a man looks like, love, true love and true affection, not having to earn that, and then also will help you navigate the malevolence and hardships of the world by giving you the tools to handle it as you grow through life, and will also be there to be the pusher to get you to try things outside of your comfort zone so that it challenges you so that you know what your limits are without you just trying to tell yourself to do that. Like dads are implicit in that process. To me, I feel like that's my role. That right there is what I am supposed to be in their life. And my worst fear is them being without that. And so now I'm sitting here and I go, how do I rectify this? Okay. Because, you know, toxic masculinity, I'm a fixer, right? Like I have to fix problems. And considering this is a problem for me, this is happening in my life. Hey, you can't just go around telling other people how to fix their problems. You got to fix your problems. So you have a problem here. You have something that's taking over your subconscious, so to speak. So I started writing. I started writing down everything that I would eventually want to teach them as the time came. You know, I've thought about their whole life. So I've been writing all week, every single day. I've been writing. I take 2 to 3 hours and I just write. And as I write, more pours out. So I'm basically on the rough draft of the rough draft of like a book that I would be willing to give my kids. And while I was writing this week, I thought, okay, literally on your bucket list is to write a book. You didn't know what it was going to be about. And so I'm writing a book and it's basically a letter to my girls. But we're already up to 10,000 words. Granted, rough draft of the rough draft, we're going to do some editing. But, and I'm also, I only have like 25% down of what I want to write about. But it's been, dude, I've never been a journaler. I've never been a journaler because I'm like, I know what happened today. I don't need to write it down. Hey, man, I was there. That's one thing that always threw me off about like diaries and journals and shit like that is I was like I even asked for a journal. I remember being like 12 years old and I asked for a journal. I was like, I want to try it, you know, because I was like, it was like everyone has that can invent when they're young, right? Every one of us has like been a kid and been like, oh, I've seen girls writing diaries. I've seen people writing journals. I've always enjoyed like writing. So I'm going to try journaling. And then I've literally tried it for like 3 days. Tried journaling for 3 days. And it was shit. Like, I had a sesame bagel at lunch today. And Travis didn't talk to me. And that made me feel weird. See you tomorrow. That was like fucking 2-3 sentences and then like the end. I would. So I'm always just like, yeah, journaling, not for me, dude, because I was there. All right. I know what happened. But so this is like kind of my first experience of writing. This is my first experience of writing out my thoughts, which has been so cathartic and I love it. And I've become, you know, me obsessed with it. And it has been so good for me. So I guess I say all that because like, dude, that's, I severely doubt this is going to be a thing where I like, I wrote a book, buy it. Almost definitely fucking not. I'm just going to give it to my kids. Or maybe I won't give it to my kids. I'll just have it there for them to have if everything ever, I don't know, dude. I haven't thought about it. I'm doing it to take care of my own fucking, the stupid ass dream I had. I'm doing it to take care of that. I'm doing it to wipe that out. And it has. And I feel like, okay, in the worst case scenario, at least something is going to be covered, you know, but it's been really fun. And I 10 out of 10 recommend. Have y'all wrote a book? Have y'all wrote like that? How many of you journal? Ooh, I actually do want to know that. Do y'all journal? Am I the weird one for not journaling? Because based off of movies and shit, I'm the weird one for not journaling. But I was there. Now, I'd be all about journaling if it was like I was writing journaling down and then we all swapped journals at the end of the day and I could see what other people's days were like because I know what my day was like, lived it. But yeah, that's an interesting happening. That's happening in Pop Cub's life. Pop Cub is writing a book. Dude, I wish that you could do college later. I wish that college was not when you were 20 and stupid. I wish that college was when you were 30 and wanted to be better at things. Because that's what happens, dude. You go to college when you're 20 and it's like, oh, I just got out of my fucking family's house. I'm on my own. Let's party. Let's have fun. You know, and then you go through all of that experience with zero care to school, absolutely zero give a shit about school for me, and only become so self-absorbed and self-obsessed into the shit that you want to do that your opportunity to actually learn things that you give a shit about, because I feel like we don't really know what we want to learn or what we want to be good at until we're older and we've had more life experience anyways. So, dude, I wish college happened when you were 30. I wish 20s were like, enter the job market, start working, start feeling what adulthood is like, start finding your partner, start working on all of that because the rest of your life is going to get pretty fucking crazy and you are going to reach a point to where you truly care about something or you find something that you really want to get good at, then go to school for that. I feel like all of us are just guessing out of high school. Out of high school, I was going to be a veterinarian. Out of high school, I wanted to be a veterinarian. Did one Google search after I submitted my major and found out that veterinarians are the ones that also have to kill animals and went, no. So if your entire life plan can get flipped by one Google search, maybe we shouldn't go to college then. Maybe it should be later. Cheer up, babe. 2024 campaign, running for presidency. If I win, all college gets pushed to 30. Also, we'll be more financially stable when we're 30. We're not going to immediately go into $150,000 in debt. I didn't. Hashtag wrestling. But you all did, you know? Pats on the back for the subtle brag there. But yeah. Oh, man. Speaking of Guinness, the whole reason I found out that Costco had Guinness is because my little brother Boone, who lives right there. No shit right now, looking at his front door. Okay? So sick. All right. He shot me a text message of a Guinness, a 24 rack of Guinness, and he said Costco. And I was like, and I literally to the family went, everybody get in the car. Let's go. Literally right then. Made a friend with a guy in Costco as I was walking out carrying only a rack of Guinness. He goes, they sell Guinness here? And I went, right there, brother. And he beelined it for the Guinness. And I'm pretty sure he walked out of Costco with only Guinness. Okay. So we're creating community. But last night, you know, Boone just had a baby. Navy's gorgeous, by the way. My little niece is beautiful, and she's growing like a weed, and she sleeps good, and I don't know. I'm just so happy for them. They're in this phase of their lives, and it's the greatest phase, and the scariest phase, and the most anxiety-ridden phase, and it's beautiful. But also, when you're in that phase, you're locked in, dude. Like, you don't have an outlet other than that baby. Is that baby okay? That's the only thing that's going through your brain 24/7. So he texted me yesterday and he goes, hey, after he called me, and Jordan and I were in the middle of a conversation, so we didn't have our phones by us. We were chatting and we ended up talking for like 2.5 hours. So I missed his call, but he left me a voicemail asking me to come over. And so literally, like a child, dude, we've had like 2 feet of snowfall, got the kids to bed, grabbed a few cans of Guinness and my mug, and ran in a straight line through 2 feet of snow to my little brother's house, and we hung out till 3:30 in the morning. Drinking and playing fucking Nintendo Golf and playing chess and talking, and for 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 6 hours. And I get to do that now. I'm not living on an island in Minnesota. My baby brother, Gunner, was here for Christmas break. We built a table together. So he was at my house almost every single day. And I just missed this. I don't even know how I got onto this topic, but I have never been more sure that I made the right move for my family getting our asses back to Idaho. I've never been more sure of anything in my life that this was the right move, because we're actually surrounded by love and give a shit. The give a shit factor that comes from a solid family is not something that you can give your kids just being mom and dad. It's a whole extension of that. They're not just learning from you and mom. They're learning love and affection from multiple outlets consistently. That's a huge fucking win. Don't even know how I got on that subject. Don't even know what I was going to say. It's just been so cool to, now that I'm an adult, get back in relationship. It took an interesting turn. Let's get into some unqualified dad advice. Also, I got no follow-up from the last advice. I hope it was received well. I am not sure. But if any of you that have submitted advice in the past just want to follow up, I'd appreciate it. All right, let's do some unqualified dad advice. Let's help some people. Maybe. Scroll. Stop. Should I, a 25-year-old woman, ask my friends with benefits, 22-year-old dude, for a hookup straight after being in a long flight? What does that mean? For a hookup straight after being in the long flight. What's the long flight? Also, friends with benefits. You know what I mean? My friends with benefits has just been back today after being in the 13-hour flight. He said he was tired as fuck. I want to hook up with him so bad, but I don't know if asking him for a hookup tomorrow is too soon. Plus, he hardly says no to something. So if I ask him for a hookup, he'll definitely say yes, even though he might still feel tired. Should I wait a bit more? What in the waste of time did we just read? What in the something's deeper is happening in your brain did we just read? Not only are you so overly concerned about texting your friend that you bang about maybe banging that you typed it up and submitted it. Let's see. Top comment. I mean, if you're okay with some bad sex, I mean, I guess, dude, if you want to look at, dude, I don't have time. Next comment. That wouldn't stop me from banging. Go for it. I mean, wouldn't stop me from banging, you know? Dude, shut up. Hey, Here's some advice. Shut up. Okay? This is on the level of, I want to make a sandwich for lunch, but I don't know if I want to go through the process of getting out the bread and the meats and the mayo and dirtying a knife. Do you think I should make a sandwich? Same vibe. Same level of nothing. So shut up. Okay. We're off to a good start. Scroll. Stop. Is Taekwondo good for self-defense? I recently started working out and I'm interested in learning some hand-to-hand combat. Is Taekwondo a good place to start? Should I go to another establishment that yields better or different results? I don't know because I don't even know what Taekwondo is really. Is that with kicks and shit? Like I know wrestling and I know jujitsu and I know what boxing is. Okay, I know those. Why are you going with Taekwondo to start? Go to jujitsu. You learn how to wrestle and grapple a little bit. Because here's the deal. If you get into a dangerous or precarious situation, you're probably on the ground. You probably got taken down. Or someone's trying to grab you and you need to get them to the ground so they can't carry you away. Okay? So I would learn ground skills first. Like when it comes to my girls, they're learning ground skills first. They'll learn striking second. They're going to learn ground skills first. Because I want them to be able to defend themselves if someone big tackles them to the ground. Okay? So I would start with that and then maybe get into Taekwondo. Is Taekwondo like karate chop hands and shit? You carry nunchucks in Taekwondo? Oh, dude, speaking of nunchucks, I saw a real life man swinging nunchucks with fingerless gloves on the other day. Okay? So I'm just going to start the story with the punchline. Jordan and I went out and she got too sloshed. So we went to the gas station to get her a drink. Right? She stayed in the car. I walked out of the car. I got her a drink. As I left the gas station, I saw two Mormon missionaries standing outside the gas station. How do I know they're Mormon missionaries? The name tag. You guys know. The white collared shirt with the name tag. Also, the clear lack of any dick touches ever once in their life. The clear lack of dick touches comboed with the white button-up shirt, comboed with the name tag, Mormon missionaries. All right? Also, they just had like an overall frail vibe. They just had an overall like, don't push him. You know, like you see some guys and you go like, God, I hope no one picks on that kid. That's just the energy emanating from these kids. Like you look at them and you immediately feel empathy because they got to walk through the world scared. But they don't walk through the world scared because they have Joseph Smith on their side. But anyways, I walk out of the gas station and there's these two Mormon missionaries standing, talking to a guy with a ponytail, black ponytail. We got a lot of long black hair in today's episode, but a long black ponytail and a leather vest with no sleeves and fingerless leather gloves holding nunchucks talking to the Mormon missionaries about their training regimen. Now, were the Mormon, did they look scared? Yes. But could I tell if that was the situation or if that's their natural resting face? Couldn't discern it. But I knew that they were uncomfortable because of what I heard when I walked by. I walk by and I hear, that's awesome. Yeah, man, that's so cool. And the guy is standing 2 feet away from him, swirling his nutchucks, talking about, yeah, honestly, I've been practicing for like 8 years now. And it's just something that I picked up. And he's like, basically telling a passion story. He is a guy that posts on Reddit for sure. Like it was his vibe. Like we might have read an advice column from him at some point in the past. I should be reading more names because I'm sure if we came across fingerless nunchuck 6969, it was him. Okay. But that's just a little side note. And if you have a question about Taekwondo, maybe reach out to that guy. Okay. And let's see what a top comment on this one is. Go ahead and learn it, but I wouldn't call it the best, LOL. I would take Krav Maga or boxing or wrestling / Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Yes. For strict self-defense. Depends on where you learn, but a lot of Taekwondo is going to be either aimed towards competition or more traditionalist, focused on the personal development part of the art as opposed to pure practicality. Right. Yeah, that's what I said. Practical. Be practical. If you're going to get attacked, where are you going to be? On the ground. Learn how to fight on the ground. Okay, Cubs, I'm going to be 100% frank with you and honest. I just read one. I'm editing it out. And it was horrific. And so, so bad. So we're going to switch lanes a little bit. Because I just got emotional and that was so sad. I'm cutting it out, but we're going to switch lanes and we're going to do a little Am I the Asshole because, wow. Give me a minute. All right, we're on Am I the Asshole. Am I the asshole for begging my girlfriend to uphold a sexist tradition just so she can make a good first impression? All right, I have a big family that's incredibly close. So we have big family dinners every few months where we all meet at my great-grandfather's estate and eat together. Typically how this works is that the women go cook for the time they're there and the men don't, which I'm fully aware is sexist as hell. That being said, I am one of the youngest people in the family and my protests mean literally nothing. Some of those women choose not to cook. However, this is usually met with a level of ostracizing. The women who don't cook are wives and long-term girlfriends, so they kind of already have a good family relationship doctored in. When I have seen some new partners not cook, it's gone bad. Like completely ostracized, not speaking, cattiness, rudeness, etc. The dinner will be in 2 weeks, and my girlfriend was asked if she would attend. Initially, she said yes, which is great. I want for her to meet everyone and for everyone to get used to her being around. But when I explained to her the tradition, she was understandably bothered. I told her that I understood where she was coming from. However, it was best for everyone if she just played along. I told her this isn't a permanent thing and that I am only asking her to do this so that she can avoid bad treatment from the rest of the family. This is her first impression, and I don't think it's best if we cause waves. She told me that it's unacceptable and that if she has to do that, she will not be going. I've tried to find a compromise with her on this, but she won't budge and she's pissed at me. She told me that if I think it's acceptable to make her do this, I'm just as bad as everyone else. Well, my point is that she needs to make a good first impression.
Yeah, there's a lot of things about, like, yeah, okay. The way that it's framed is definitely sexist, right? But, I mean, you're the one that framed it as a woman versus a man thing. And here's what I'm speaking to. When I brought Jordan over to meet the family, Jordan was not expected to cook or clean or do anything like that. But she also wanted to make a good first impression. And it didn't come from I'm a woman, so I cook and clean. So dinner was being cooked and Jordan walked in and said, like, can I help with anything? And then she helped. And that was it. I was like, first impression there. And then after dinner, like, we're all bringing our plates into the kitchen and she goes, can I help? So, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like she was like coming from a place of sexism where it's like, I'm the woman, this is my role. It came from let's build a good impression and therefore a good relationship with my parents, because the impression didn't, I'm just speaking to my own story here. The impression didn't come from, oh, you're the woman, good on you for cooking and cleaning. The impression came from VJ brought a new girl over and she wants to lend a hand. You know how that's different? You feel how that's different? You know? Now, the only thing that's different there is my family wouldn't ostracize her for not doing that. But I want to know what lens your family's coming from. Like, is it that? Is it the fact that, no, we all lend a hand and we help out, which, you know, if you speak to that, it's like, yeah, the guys should be doing that too, which is, you know, I also do. But it doesn't have to be a sexism thing. Maybe in this instance, it's a pure sexism thing. And your girl's just like, no, absolutely not. But I know that any ostracizing that would happen in my family wouldn't because she's the woman and it's her job to do those things. It's because, oh, first impressions matter. And maybe you would want to lend a hand, you know? And it doesn't have to be like cooking or cleaning. Like if my dad was outside, like, okay, if my dad was outside mowing the lawn the first time that we showed up there and we were all just kind of hanging out, the same thing if she would be like, do you want me to throw those bags of grass that way? Like the lend a hand thing, you know? And we all know women don't touch the lawn. It's like, no, it doesn't have to be a sexism thing. But I suppose the way that this is all presented with this specific instance, it's directly correlated to the sexism aspect of, like, it's her job to do this.
And that's the difference, right? Maybe that's the difference. Expectation versus willingness, right? Like freedom of choice versus expectation is where the problem lies in this, maybe. Like if you expect her to do it just because she's the girl, that's sexist and that comes off bad. Now, if she does it because she wants to build a camaraderie with your family, with there being no expectation, that's not sexism because that's her freedom of choice. So you put expectation upon her. So you are the asshole. Maybe you could have just shut the hell up and seen how she responded or seen how she acted when she was there instead of trying to preemptively grease the wheels, you know, because you tainted her potential first impression of your family by not just letting it ride out. Stop trying to control narratives, dude. You tried to control a narrative. You tried to be like, here's what we got to do, setting expectation, rather than, hey, I'm going to bring my girl over. And you're also interested to see how she acts around your family. You don't want her to act us. You want her to act exactly how she feels she needs to act because that's the rest of your life if you stick with that girl. You don't want her to act a certain way and then have to hold up some sort of fake mask every time she's around your family that's outside of herself. So, yeah, you're the asshole. You fucked that one up. Congratulations. Well, we walked our way down that road, didn't we? We danced on that fucking bridge till we got to that answer. That was satisfying at the end. Scroll. Stop. Am I the asshole for refusing to allow a photo of my future mother-in-law's miscarriages at my wedding? Whoa. I'm going to say no. But also I'm going to say, what? She wants a picture of miscarriages? She took pictures? She took pictures of the set? Okay. This is from a 26-year-old woman. I am planning my wedding with my fiancé, 27, in a few months. Everything is going great, and I love him so much. I can't wait to spend my life with him. He loves my family, and I, for the most part, love his. Oh, put a caveat in there. A bit of background. Fiancé has a much older brother. While my future mother-in-law was pregnant three times in between them, all of them resulted in late miscarriages and stillbirths. So, sad. As a result, mother-in-law put all of her motherly love and attention onto my fiancé. He had never tried a fruit or vegetable before I met him because his parents never made him when he was young and he has grown up assuming they were gross. Okay, that's not motherly love and attention. Okay, that is the consuming mother who stunts their child. This circles all the way back into my fear. This circles all the way back into, and I'm not saying like every mother is like this if they don't have a husband. I'm saying like there is a thing called the consuming mother or whatever it is that basically latches onto the child, tries to protect them from all harm, and thus does not prepare them for the world. That can also happen if it's a single dad as well, but I'm just saying there's a literal term for it, and I'm not saying that that's broken by having a man in the house, and I'm also not saying that that will happen if there's not a dad involved, okay? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, that's not motherly love and affection. Motherly love and affection is being there for you, consoling you, nurturing you when you need it, but also not nurturing you when you don't need it and knowing the difference between the two. Babying is not mothering. Your fiance never had a vegetable or a fruit? You sure you want to marry this guy? You know? You sure? Don't you want a guy who's experienced something? And by all rights and purposes, it sounds like he hasn't experienced a strawberry. Okay? Don't you want a guy that's gone through a few things so that you know he can handle going through things with you in life? But how's that going to happen when he hasn't gone through a stalk of celery? You know? But that's a side note. Let's continue on. As we were planning our guest list, we consulted our families about which and how many relatives we should invite. Future mother-in-law asked that we invite, fiance's dead brother and sisters. Whoa. When we asked what she meant, she wanted us to put up a framed photo of the dead babies in the pews at our wedding ceremony and then save them seats at our reception. This lady's whacked out, dude. Okay? Went through so much heartbreak and trauma. It broke. And it's so sad. It's so sad. I'm not saying this from like a hyper-judgmental thing, but she's broken. Okay? She... Which I don't blame her. Like, I can't even imagine what loss like this feels like. But she never got past it. She found out a way to survive and is just barely on the edge of coping, you know, which is like, do you blame her? No. But it's also not healthy. We can agree to that. This doesn't feel healthy. She didn't give the son that survived a fruit or a vegetable because God forbid he goes through any trial or tribulation because she went through the trauma of losing three babies in between and now is so scared. She's just scared. So her entire life became consumed in fear. And now it's sad. Fuck. I was horrified. First of all, we were trying to have a fairly small wedding to start with and a beautiful, intimate venue. We can only have seats for 30 to 50 people, and I would like these places to be our friends and family, not people who have never met either of us because they are dead. Wow. Wow. Ow, dude. That was so blunt. They call me a tad abrasive. Dude, so blunt. Oh, my God. We can only have seats for 30 to 50 people, and I would like these places to be for our friends and family and not people who have never met either of us because they are dead.
Oh, shit. But I guess, you know,
it's your wedding. Fiance agrees that 3 of 50 seats reserved for dead people is too many. Stop just saying dead people. I mean, it's showing such a lack of empathy, which I get it. You're defensive right now because you're like, no, it's my wedding, which I get. Right? But you're also like, Jesus, have you ever experienced something like this? No. So maybe a little more empathy moving forward. Stop just saying dead people. Okay? Oh, fuck. It's messed up. He suggested we compensate and just let mother-in-law put up 3 photos in one seat. It won't take up much room. Can we just put them on one seat? You know, we don't have to take up all 3 seats. They're not even fully grown. Oh, God. Okay. Personally, I think it's gross and weird to include any of them. We are starting our lives together. We have to have a family, and it almost seems like a bad omen, but it means a lot to her, and it's a fairly small ask. Fiance's parents are paying 75% of our wedding, and this is the only request she had, so am I the asshole for still refusing?
Do you want to unravel the book? You know, do you want to pull the thread? Do you really want to pull the thread? Because here's the deal. If you say no, maybe not now, but down the road, that'll lead to a conversation of why. And then in the why, you're going to have to point out or at least figure out for yourself, why not? And the why not is because that's fucking weird, right? And then you got to get into the conversation of why is it weird? And then you're going to literally try to pull this woman's identity and personality apart, and you don't have the tools for that. None of us do. Therapists do. Legitimate therapists do. We don't have the tools for that. So you might be starting a fire that you can't put out because you lack the skills. Because this is big shit. This is the worst thing you can go through, basically, as a parent. Okay? Almost. So, do you have the tools to handle the conversation down the road? Probably not. Okay? Now, for me, I don't know. I kind of just go, all right. That's fine. You know, I go, whatever.
my mom's entire life is a literal broken mess, you know? And at one point it's like, you don't want to coddle her, but it's like, dude, it's over. It's so weird. And it's fucked up. It's fucked up. I wouldn't want it. Shit. This is a tough one. Oh my gosh. All right. It is your wedding. No, you're not the asshole. No, you don't have to. No, you're not the asshole. You don't have. All right. It is not your job to try to adhere to someone who's broken mentally's feelings and emotions. That's not what your wedding is for. That wedding is for the celebration of you and your husband. And that's their thing. She can put the pictures of the miscarriages up at events that are for her, not for events that are for you. That's my final decision. I just made my decision. It's over. Done. Let's read some comments on that one, because that's crazy, dude. That's crazy, dude. Not the asshole. I have no words other than no goddamn way. That's the weirdest and creepiest thing I've ever heard. Yeah. Not the asshole. Your wedding is about you and your fiance. It's not about anyone else or what they want. It's about the two of you and what you want. Yes. This is a test, .. of your fiance. If he doesn't back you up 100% on this issue, you should seriously reconsider marrying him. Do you really want to marry someone who caters to unreasonably even crazy requests from his mother? Wow. Shy. Get in here. Let's hear it. Clocked it. Big picture. Big picture is you're starting a life with a guy. What's his response to it? Yeah. That's tough. Especially, dude, you're entering into a marriage with a guy who has most likely a fucking weird relationship with his mom, okay? Because she sounds like a lot. So, yeah, that person wins. That person wins. All right, babe. Well, hey, go pick up some campaign merch from the Den store. Wow. Horrible at pitches. Cheerupbabe.shop. Go check it out. Get yourself a shirt. Maybe get the size that you usually buy and not a size down from that. Like, just get the size that you normally wear other clothes in. And don't get a size down from that. Or else you're going to be bloated one week because Costco had a sale and you're not going to feel comfortable in the shirt. It's okay. Just do that. And also, thanks for listening. I love you. This is episode 104. Cheer up, babe, the podcast. Go out there. Don't be a bummer. Cheer up, babe.